I'm Stephen Strang, and this is the Strang Report for January 1st, 2020. Well, it's the start of a new year, and as many people say, a new decade. Being a journalist, I know that technically the year ending in zero is actually the last year of the previous decade, but nobody thinks that way, and we're thinking of entering the 20s. And my op-ed today on the Strang Report newsletter is dealing with the anti-Semitism that has taken place in the last week and saying that Christians must speak out against anti-Semitism and challenging us to do that in the new year. That needs to be a focus. Anti-Semitism goes back many, many millennia, really, you know, long before there was anti-Semitism in Western Europe, or certainly in this country. It's a problem that's just not in the United States, but around the world. And it takes many forms. Sometimes it's violence. That's what we saw with the shooting in Pittsburgh and the one in San Diego. I mean, those are just horrible tragedies. This week in New York, there's been one every day for a week. And some of them was like a woman coming up to a Jewish woman with her children there and, you know, saying something very vile and then hitting her with a bag. Now, that's an offense. She was arrested. She was also released because of their very liberal laws up there. There was a Hasidic man, an elderly man, who was hit in the face. But the one that's got captured the most attention, of course, is when a man burst into a Hanukkah party in the home of a rabbi with a machete and a knife and injured five people before fleeing. He has been arrested. He is being held. I believe he needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We cannot have the attitude that anti-Semitism is the new normal and something we have to live with. But there's other kinds of anti-Semitism. And I think that the BDS, which is a boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, is a form of vile anti-Semitism because it's against the state of Israel, which is the only homeland the Jewish people have. And, you know, they're trying to damage. They're trying really to destroy economically. And we have to see that as anti-Semitism. Now, a lot of the elites on the left are for BDS. A lot of the so-called elites in the academic community are very, very much against Israel. And it's ironic that the left, who talks such tolerance, is really so anti-Semitic in so many ways. And then at the same time, there's hypocrisy because they attack the right and say and try to make it seem that anti-Semitism is a right-wing problem. And while there are some right-wing people who have been known to be anti-Semitic, they're not white supremacists in this instance. In fact, the people they arrested, and there was an attack in a kosher deli in New Jersey a month or so ago, and the police actually shot and killed those perpetrators. And these people were not white. And that's something that the left doesn't want to talk about. In fact, they blame Donald Trump, like they blame him for everything. I think they blamed him for one of the hurricanes because they said he wasn't for climate change and that the and, you know, some kind of twisted thinking. They thought he caused the hurricanes. Well, hurricanes were sinking Spanish ships hundreds of years ago. And of course, you know, they've been around as long as planet Earth has been around. And, you know, it's just awful the way they blame Trump for everything. Trump has been a strong supporter of Israel, probably stronger than any other president, going all the way back to Harry Truman, who's the one who recognized the state of Israel almost immediately when it was formed in May of 1948. He really reached out to the victims of the shootings in or the communities, of course, where there were victims, shooting victims in Pittsburgh and San Diego. His own daughter has converted to Judaism, and he's been very supportive of that. I don't see how they can possibly call him anti-Semitic. On the other hand, these same people say you're anti-Semitic if you criticize George Soros, who I believe is one of the most dangerous men alive today, and all of the vile things that he does. But because he was born a Jew, to my knowledge, he is not an acting Jew and does not really identify with the Jewish community. Yet somehow, if you criticize him as a vile human being, you're being anti-Semitic. I'm almost at a loss for words. I think this is so stupid. Now, in my op-ed, I shift gears and I write about another horrific thing that happened this week. There was a shooting in right outside Fort Worth, Texas, in a little town called White Settlement, a place I'd never heard of, at the West Freeway Church of Christ. It was during their Sunday morning service. In fact, they were just taking communion. And a man dressed in black with a fake wig and a fake beard stood up, pulled out a shotgun, and started shooting. The church has volunteer armed security people, people in the congregation who are trained. And one of them tried to pull out his gun and shoot him and was instead killed himself. Another security agent rushing to the scene. I mean, all of this happened in just split seconds. He was also killed. Another armed guard who was, you know, I saw the video. They were live streaming the service. It was like maybe 50 to 100 feet away. Who had actually been eyeing the guy, thinking he looked kind of weird. You know, it's dangerous. And he pulled out his revolver, shot one shot, and killed the man dead. The whole thing lasted 6 seconds. Now, the two incidents are not really related, of course, except that it was attacks on religious people. And the one in Texas, of course, being a place of worship. You'll remember that in 2017 in Sutherland Springs, which is a small town in Texas, at the Baptist church, a gunman went in and killed 26 people. And only when he went out to his truck to get more ammunition, a man who had a permit to carry saw him, realized something was very wrong, and took him out. And if it hadn't been for that, probably more people would have been killed. And in this Church of Christ in White Settlement, Texas, if those armed guards had not been there, if they had just called 911, it would have taken at a minimum a few minutes for people to get there. And I mean, in the 6 seconds that this happened, he killed two people. They say there were 240 people in the church at the time. You know, the live stream, you know, or a segment of the live stream is all over the internet. You can see it for yourself. You can see how full it is. I would have guessed there were more than 240, but I guess somebody actually counted them. A lot of those people would have been killed. But Texas passed a law. They did it after the Sutherland Springs shooting. And the law allowed churches, if they chose to have volunteers who are armed. I personally think that we need to have more of that in our country, because you never know where something's going to happen, and the police can't be everywhere. And we don't live in a police state where things are tied down so tightly. You know, our freedoms to move about also gives the criminals freedom to move about. And these are evil people. And when this happens, the left always blames the guns. Guns don't kill people. People use guns to kill people. And like Alveda King, my friend, said on Fox News, that if they take away all the guns, well, what about the machetes and the knives? And in the instance in New York City, you know, they, you know, could hit someone or bang their head against the ground or strangle them, or, you know, this is evil. And we need to call it what it is. And you know, as Christians, we need to stand up against this evil. We need to speak out, and we also need to pray. Something is very seriously wrong in our country. I believe that it's spiritual warfare. I believe it's good against evil. And people's hearts really need to change, and they're only going to change through the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the whole thing is developing. When you listen to my podcast, especially when people listen later, probably a lot of more news will have come out than I've been able to see. But the man in Texas was apparently a person with lots and lots of problems. In fact, people who knew him said that his own brother took his own life a couple of years ago. He was also very troubled, and that his suicide really troubled this man. And he was actually known to the church. The church had helped him. He was living on the streets, apparently, or at least had been recently. But he also had some kind of Christian affiliation, because somebody who knew him said he had a Bible verse for everything. Sounds like a religious nut. You know, obviously his Christianity didn't keep him from murder. And you can only suppose that he was very troubled, probably mental illness. Sometimes it's hard to know where mental illness and demonic activity, you know, where they overlap or where one starts and the other stops. But there, I do believe there's demons. I believe that it's evil personified. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So I urge people to pray, people who intercede, and there are many who do, including myself. We need to pray not only for whatever's going on in our own life or our own church community, but we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray against these terrible forces, against the hate that exist, because really that is caused by evil itself. You know, I've been doing podcasts now since June of 2015. I had never done a podcast before, but that's when we started the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm happy to tell you that in just the last couple of weeks, we passed 20 million downloads for the Charisma Podcast Network. And while I don't have final numbers for 2019, it appears that my podcasts are very, very close to 2 million downloads. And this compares to 250,000 downloads in 2018. So I've had some big podcasts, obviously, but also I think it's just that people are becoming more familiar. A lot more people are coming to the Charisma Podcast Network, and they'll see my podcast, The Strang Report, and listen to it. I think it's also because people share it. And so I want to thank you if you've ever shared a podcast with a friend. You helped me get those downloads. I'm humbled and I'm stunned, frankly, I have that kind of following. That means my podcast grew 8 times in the last 12 months. And as we look forward to 2020, I'm going to continue. In fact, I'm starting a new podcast. It's called God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. It goes along with my book by the same title, which releases January 14th. You can find out more at a special website, and you can order it. You can pre-order it, and you get all kinds of free stuff. And it's GodTrump2020.com. That's kind of a shortened version of the name of the book, GodTrump2020.com. And for things that have to do with politics and the culture and the election and Donald Trump, I will put them on this new podcast. The things where I'm talking about things in the Christian community or very serious issues in the news, like I am with anti-Semitism and the church shooting today, of course, I'll leave those on the Strang Report. The staff's decided that when I do a God Trump 2020, that we'll also issue it under the Strang Report, just because I have such a following now. There are a lot of people who would never find the other. So we'll kind of do both. If you can kind of understand that, you can listen to both podcasts. And I'll be starting to travel to promote the book. I've gotten lots of media. There seems to be a lot of interest, especially in the aftermath of this op-ed in Christianity Today that attacked President Trump, I think unfairly. I've done podcasts on that. You can go on the Charisma Podcast Network and and see the response that I've done. And it's kind of interesting that the media has just gone crazy, in a manner of speaking, because they finally found an evangelical that agrees with their talking points. And I don't need to really elaborate more than that because I did in my other podcast. But when someone is 100% behind the president, like I am and like we are, you know, even endorsing him for the election in 2016, and then I've written three books about it, it's kind of like, oh, well, we expected that of charisma. So I guess that's just a part of human nature. But I also think that it's going to create a lot more interest in my book. And I'll be talking more about it later, but I just wanted to notify you as I was thanking you for listening and kind of talking through how I'm starting a new podcast. So until next time, thank you for listening to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang.